Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
And they suddenly find out that it's really true. It's not just something in theory, it's absolute true. The basic point is that everyone has to think very seriously how to execute their duties in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Life is meant for serving Krishna. Without that, it's completely useless. Not even slightly useful, completely useless. So it happens that devotees living in the ashram and something goes on in their head and they're thinking, well, maybe this isn't for me full time all my life. There may be different factors. After all, there are certain austerities living in. It's a disciplined monastic life, which means very little independence to decide what you want to do and no privacy. It really means a lot of surrender. And you may feel, well, I can't keep up such an intense lifestyle for all the time. And there are material desires also, desires for family life, to have children, sexual desires, desires to have your own home and all these different things. So we don't condemn these because even after understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to become fully renounced, for most people it just doesn't happen. We always recommend for young men especially that if you're living a brahmachari life, by all means continue. If you can keep your mind peaceful enough, then don't enter into all those problems. Then you won't have to ask, should I sell paintings and to maintain myself or not. Now everybody sit. Turn around, please. Yeah. Should always be conscious we're in front of Sri Sri Gaur-Nithai. So, if you can stay brahmachari, is the best life. As long as the mind isn't too much agitated. Some agitation is not unnatural. If our mind was completely fixed on Krishna, we wouldn't be in this material world. Yes. So if one can tolerate that itching, Prahlad Maharaj compares this sexual desire to itching. If we can tolerate it, then in course of time it will go away. And brahmachari, all he has to do is serve Guru and Krishna, prepare himself for going back to Godhead. And he can dedicate himself full time to preaching Krishna consciousness, which is the most important need of human society. So he doesn't have to think about supporting a family, education of children, mother-in-law, buying saris, and all these different things. Whether my child will take intoxication or not, he doesn't have to worry about this. Anyway, reality is that many devotees, if not most devotees, do enter the Grihastha ashram. This should be done ideally in a cool-headed way. It doesn't usually happen in a very cool way. Someone wakes up one morning and thinks, help! I can't go on like this forever. And the mode of passion takes over. And a young man and a young woman in Krishna consciousness, I don't exactly know what goes on. Maybe it's a little fluttering of the eyelids in the corridors or whatever. But it's really better to approach it in a slower way. Because the nature of material attraction is that when a young man is feeling he wants to have a young woman and vice versa, then by the attractive power of Maya, then whoever they come in contact with, that attraction becomes very strong. In the mode of passion, we do things in a hurry which we think is going to be wonderful. It's like nectar in the beginning with poison at the end. So it's better if devotee feels that he's feeling, well, maybe I have to go this way. It's better to discuss with some older Grihastha devotees who can give you good advice. It's also a good idea to discuss, first of all, with some older brahmacharis. They might give you a different advice. No, because really, I mean, even if you are going to get married, it's good to spend at least 5 years in this monastic life. That will help you to be a better Grihastha later on, or a better devotee in all ways. that spirit of sacrifice, surrender, is very helpful to imbibe all these things. So anyway, it's better to consult some older grihasthas at some point. And of course the Vedic system or traditional system in most societies up until recently was that elder people would arrange a marriage. You had that system in Poland up till recently? Was it?
50, 60 years
ago. Yeah, like that, yeah.
Tak, coś takiego.
That was going on for hundreds of years before, and now it's all gone. Now, as Prabhupada said, the parents just throw the children out on their young daughters out. You're just like a prostitute. Go find yourself some boy. So it's not a good system at all. Previously, there was no divorce. Now there's, in California, the people that bother to get married, even there's more, those most of them don't even bother. They just live like animals.
But
even those who make a show of getting married, even then, more than 50% within 3 years they're divorced. So it's better that it's arranged by... Previously it was the parents that would arrange seeing who is suitable husband, who is suitable, who will match nicely. And there are so many different factors, just like age and temperament. Prabhupada even writes in one purport that a devotee boy should marry a devotee girl and a demoniac boy should marry a demoniac girl, and that way they'll be happy. Happy demons. Tanahang dushitakro rang sangvurdhava sangsareshya nadama kshibhyamya jasu ashramashubhan asurishveva yonishu. And they can give birth to the demons. Yes. Anyway, that's all. Now, at the present time, we don't have this set up in our ISKCON society, any such system for that. But it's good to begin as soon as possible. And you don't have to make a Grihastha's guidance, steering committee, subcommittee, advisory board. It's not necessary. But just senior Grihasthas can make themselves available. This is common system in any integrated community. For those who are older, more senior, experienced, people go to them for advice. Our modern society, in the Western world especially, they have the concept of the rugged individual. Rugged. You know what rugged means?
Rugged,
rugged means like that Marlboro cigarette advertisement. Means the lone individual who stands out strong by himself. You must have seen Marlboro cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need any help from anybody. It's ridiculous. Actually, this Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, and then there was Saddam Hussein, and Gaddafi,
Saddam
Hussein. In Libya.
No, zrozumiecie.
So they were all against America, and in the American press, just like. What is that? United Associates. There's a different press company, and they give all these propaganda how these people are so bad. Associated Press, yeah, and there's UPI. Oh, that's in India.
They're
fanatics. But actually, what the people in their countries, they like them. Mostly. Because what they say, just like one statement that was reported in the American press, they made a big, big thing about it. They said that Ayatollah Khomeini said that this. America is the great Satan. So they thought this just proves that this Ayatollah guy is a complete demon, rascal, madman, fanatic. But I agree with this sentiment completely.
Yeah.
That all over the world they want to introduce all sinful activities. They want to introduce that men and women will mix. They're destroying traditional cultures.
They
want to put McDonald's hamburgers in every street corner. In the name of liberalism, they want to encourage that boys and girls will mix up, and there's no restrictions for sex, no marriage, no nothing. And they're destroying traditional cultures all over the world. That more or less in traditional cultures, people live, their social system is quite fixed, and they're quite relatively peaceful. But to increase their business and make more money, they want to destabilize all the societies so that no one has any respect for anyone else, no one has any regard for anyone else, no one has any sense of responsibility, everyone is just completely selfish. One of our devotees, this Dhira Govinda Prabhu, wrote a book about preaching in Israel to the Arabs and Druze people. So he met one Arab in Israel who complained. He said that the Israelis, they're not going to defeat us by guns and tanks and bombs, but they're going to destroy us by turning our daughters into prostitutes. Because at the schools they have mixed classes, boys and girls, and they teach them modern dancing, and they teach all this thing that men and women mix up freely. So this is actually demoniac culture. And this is one of the major problems I see for our devotees when they get married. That they don't see any model, they don't see how people should live a civilized married life. The only thing they see or know is that in the demoniac society. Of course, it's not as bad in Poland yet. But in the Western countries, it's like that. There's so much divorce, that means the kids, the children, they grow up without... They may have one parent, or their mother gets divorced and they marry someone else, and then they get another brother from that father, and then that father goes, and then they, you know, it just goes on like this. And the mother is also out working because they want to have more money. So the kid comes home and his mother and father, his guru, becomes the TV. And what do they? And on TV they see an average 8 murders a day. And the mother comes back from work and she's totally frazzled by working all day. So the kid who wants sympathy from the mother, instead she yells at him. Instead, the child should come home from school and mother is there greeting with something she's cooked, and she feeds him very affectionately. But instead she comes home in a bad temper and she gets some instant food, something out of the fridge, and just heats it up. So this is actually a very horrible demoniac society. And it's just set up in such a way that people, even they may not be bad, but they're forced to live like demons. Therefore, Prabhupada recommended for our Grihastha devotees, the general recommendation he made was, don't live in this demoniac society. Yeah. Make your own society. Live on farms. Mostly our devotees don't want to do that because there's certain kinds of austerities in farm life. And of course, there's so many austerities in city life also. Working at some miserable job, that's pretty hard. Glad. No, and you have to bring up your children they're all mixing up with all demoniac people. So at least for the sake of children, the best thing is to take them into an atmosphere. At least they don't have to be exposed to all these things. It means young boys and girls at school, they're completely agitated by looking at each other all the time. Because in the TV and the advertisements and everything, their lust is being excited all the time. Then drugs, all these things in the schools. That must have reached Poland by now. It's very, very difficult to bring children up in this horrible society. Yeah. So I would recommend that. That's the best thing. Now, we also had ISKCON farm communities. It's been slow to develop. But for the majority of Grihastha devotees, I see this is the thing that we really have to do if we're... Now, for many people, it may not be very practical.
Just like
many people, they join Krishna consciousness, and they become interested in Krishna consciousness, but they're already living at home, and they have 3 children, and like this. But if you're living in a temple already, and you have some way to shape your life, then I see this is the direction our movement has to go in. Not only I see, but this was very much the direction given by Prabhupada. So many farm projects were acquired during Prabhupada's presence in this world. That's also one kind of missionary activity, that it takes some courage to make such a move. We see that in the past, many, just like America was founded by the Pilgrim Fathers, they went from England to America because they wanted some place where they could practice their religion and bring up their children in an atmosphere where they weren't harassed by the other people. So that's one whole area which very much needs development. Practically speaking, we're seeing that it is it's very difficult for devotees to maintain a high level of Krishna consciousness living in Grihastha life in the cities. It's not impossible, of course. Yeah. There are very Krishna conscious devotees who are Grihasthas living in the cities. But the whole way of life in the cities, it's not conducive. And unless a devotee is very strong and very determined, it's very difficult to keep a very high standard of Krishna consciousness. Because in Grihastha life, first consideration is money, which is where this painting's question comes. So of course this painting sales was developed in our society because it's a way to generate considerable income fairly easily, which is very much needed in our society. Money is also needed. But then what happens is someone thinks, well, hey, I'm making so much money, I could be doing this for myself also. I'm bringing in so much money and still all I have is 2 meters by one on the floor and, you know, whatever dal and bread they give me. So anyway, you get married and thinking that I'll enjoy life a little bit. But you soon find that whatever little enjoyment is there is offset by the difficulties. Now, Prabhupada, if we read Prabhupada's books, what Prabhupada says about this, he stresses again and again, and not only in Prabhupada's purpose, but directly in the text of Bhagavatam also, it's stated that a householder should have a very honest means of income. Because if your means of income is not very honest, then you're going to get a sinful reaction. You can do anything for Krishna, but if you do it for your own sense gratification, then you're going to get a sinful reaction. And your consciousness will be polluted. This we're practically seeing. So, if you whatever you're doing, actually, if you're making, Prabhupada said that householders, they should give 50% of their income for spreading Krishna consciousness. So, if you're making easy money, then definitely you have to give at least 50%, otherwise you're going to get entangled seriously. Now that's talking about occupation, how to bring in money. Other devotees, they may do some business. Prabhupada gave other directions for householders. He said that prasadam distribution is a good for devotees, householders. He recommended setting up prasadam restaurants. And Prabhupada even gave the direction how to do it. And our devotees in San Diego, they did this, two devotees working 6 hours a day, they can have one sitting a day, midday, and have plenty of sales, make sufficient income, all in 6 hours, everything in 6 hours. Shopping, cooking, cleaning, selling the prasad, everything within 6 hours. Means you have about five preparations, and they pay about $3 or something, and you serve yourself and you can eat as much as you like. And this way you have minimum, you don't have to have people serving, and it's very, very simple. And another thing Prabhupada recommended, a good engagement for householders, is book distribution. That you sell the books and you take some margin for your householder maintenance. Now in America and England now they have such a system where grihasthas can buy directly from the BBT. So these engagements are excellent. Prasad distribution, book distribution. Especially this prasadam restaurant idea is good. So people can come regularly, take prasad, and then gradually they'll get to know these are devotees and talk to them. One of the biggest book distributors in the world, Namhatta Prabhu from Italy, he was a grihastha like this. He passed away about 1 year ago. But for many years, he was one of the biggest book distributors in the world. He was a grihastha living at home. And he distributed books door to door. He made contacts with people, made friends with them. And he gradually sold them more and more books. And then through their friends, they would make more contacts and like this. Just like that idea of pyramid marketing, but doing it for Krishna. So, of course, it takes a lot of courage to make a step to do such a thing. It's much easier to sell something for sense gratification, like a painting or some herb, which is supposed to make you fit and healthy, which probably doesn't. However, life is another kind of cheating. You just promise people this will make you healthy, and it doesn't make them healthy. If they follow four regulated principles, they'll make them much more healthy than taking Herbalife. And anyway, Herbalife. Even if you do become healthy, what's the value? The cows and bulls are also healthy. The whole point is to become Krishna conscious. So these engagements, they keep us very directly in Krishna consciousness. We have to think very carefully how we're going to go on with this valuable human form of life. It's absolutely ridiculous that someone, after going through millions of lives, they come to Krishna conscious, they get the highest knowledge, and then they just go back to living like a foolish karmic. One devotee, he wrote to Prabhupada saying he wanted to get married. Prabhupada said, yeah, that's all right, but I just don't want you to become just like another foolish materialistic person. Now, it is difficult, no doubt, to set up your life in such a way that you can be very much Krishna conscious even living at home. Because the whole flow of society is in the opposite direction. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to enter into grihastha life, go slowly, cool-headedly. Take advice from some senior grihastha devotees. Enter into this ashram in such a way that when you go, it's not like falling off the edge of a cliff. That's called andhakupam, means a blind well. That you're walking in a field and all of a sudden you vanish. Because there's a well in the field which has been covered over by long grasses so you can't see the hole. So all of a sudden you fall down. So we don't want our devotees to fall away like this. We're working so much and put so much endeavor into bringing people into Krishna consciousness, training them up. And then someone, for whatever, due to too much association with the material energy, they become, at least from the external point of view and their behavior, almost like a total materialist. So all our devotees have to help each other. And especially when a devotee is thinking about getting married, or when they're just married, especially like the first 1 or 2 years, it's a lot of things going on in the mind, the different anxieties, and you don't know how to cope with the situation. For a few years you are living as a brahmacharini, and just, you know, very careful. A brahmachari shouldn't even look at the brahmacharinis like this. Okay. Shouldn't talk with them, shouldn't think of them. Okay. And all of a sudden you're living with one. And you're not sure how you should behave. And the other partner doesn't either. Now, in traditional societies, there was extended family. The modern factory-based society has destroyed that. They've made nuclear families. So it's very... Nuclear families means nuclear bomb. It's very difficult. There's the husband and wife and children are just in one small space like this. Whereas in extended families, there was extended space also. And husband and wife, they weren't just together all the time. Even in traditional families, husband and wife, they wouldn't be just together all the time. Even associating with each other. Not much, actually. In traditional societies all over the world, the women would associate with the women, and the men would associate with the men, and they wouldn't mix up that much. And there were so many older people in the family they would help and give guidance to newly married people. And there was a sense of honor that you have to respect your parents, and you have to maintain the family honor by behaving properly. And a sense of responsibility, which is almost totally lacking in modern society. That if you get married, then the husband is responsible to maintain the wife. He doesn't walk out and say, oh, forget it. And the wife is responsible to serve the husband and the elder parents. And the husband and wife are responsible to bring up the children. In modern society, I don't like you anymore. I don't like you, so get out and take the kids with you. Absolutely demoniac. Yeah. And this is considered okay. So a sense of responsibility is there. Another thing is that bringing up children means young children, they need 24 hours attention practically. So it's a very great strain for the mother especially. Okay. But the extended family means there's so many mothers. So I see that what happens is like the young wife, she's got 1 or 2 kids and it's like completely shatters her nerves. So she becomes angry at the kids and she becomes angry at the husband. The husband, he's just been out at work all day and he comes back and he's shattered. Yes. Then he comes back and he needs some comfort from the wife and she's shattered, so he shouts at her and she shouts at him, and it's just, like I say, it's a nuclear bomb. So new grihasthas, they need a lot of help, actually. That's what I'm saying, the farm is the best. We have to set up our own society. It may take some time, but we have to do it. So even if not living, if you're living in the city, then new grihasthas, they should take guidance as much as possible from elder grihastha. And for all detailed advice, they should do that, approach senior devotees. And a lot of the time it's just that, you know, like actually they won't need advice, they just need someone to talk to a lot of the time. Jaya Vedaswami once he was saying that what we're missing, what we're lacking in our society is grandmothers.
Babji.
Who, you know, everyone's got all these things in their mind, and so the grandmother is the person who you go to. And very kind, full of affection.
Yeah.
And if you come to me, I'll tell you, look, you're just in Maya. You're a rascal,
yes,
you're a nonce, the full number one. And it's true. But maybe your grandmother needs to tell you in a different way. So anyway, it's a big subject. And I can't solve all your problems.
That's a problem.
The real answer is Nanmana Bhavama Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru Mame Vaishasi Satyamti Pratijane Priyosime. Make our goal of life very seriously to think of Krishna always and prepare ourselves for going back to Godhead. But exactly how we do that, according to our present situation, that we have to see. Just like I'm here now and I want to get here. Okay, where's our mathematician? What's the okay. So the shortest way to go from here to here is, don't need a mathematician, anyone can say. It's a straight line. Okay, now we see, just like when they're building roads, actually in Switzerland they go right through the mountain, they have a lot of money, they make tunnels. They make tunnels and then you come out of the mountain and the other side there's a bridge and then you've done the tunnel going through the mountain. But in a poorer country like India, just like if you drive up to Badrinath, the road goes around the mountain. And just to get from here to here, you have to go like this. So the other alternative is you can go in a straight line, but you have to go up the hill and down by walking. So you have to see the best way for you to go. For a goat, the best way to go is up the hill and down. And for me, it's better that I get in a bus and go around. So we have to see the best way to go. Which ashram we're in, how we act according to that ashram, according to our particular situation. We need advice and help. And it may be even sometimes that the advice, it may not be exactly 100% the best thing for us, because we're also learning by experience. We're in the Western countries and we're introducing a new culture. Plus, you can never tell what's going to happen in this material world. But still, it's better to take advice from our well-wishers. So I see here in this Roslav area, there's a few devotees who are experienced householders. So I would suggest to more junior householders or those who are thinking about it to consult them. Don't be too proud to seek advice. And practically the most important advice on the family platform, apart from remembering Krishna, that is the most important advice, is that the advice we should give to householders is that, because this modern idea, get divorced, but this is absolutely wrong. If you give the idea that there's a possibility of divorce, there will be divorce. Because there'll be disagreement, there'll be problems, difficulty. So if we say, oh, all right, have divorce, then everyone will get divorced. And then it'll be total chaos. Our children will grow up and not as devotees because they won't have faith in Krishna consciousness. And how can we spread Krishna consciousness in the whole society if we can't even show a good example? In this sense, our grihasthas, they're the most important preachers. Because they have to show people how you can live in Krishna conscious family life. People want to see, well, if I become Krishna conscious, what happens to me? So if they see our devotees are they're settled in their family life and they're making progress in spiritual life, then they'll be impressed by that. Because people, they want to know how I can live happily in this world and make spiritual advancement. But if we're talking about Krishna consciousness, the highest philosophy, but our devotees, they can't even live together as husband and wife, then who's going to want to take up Krishna consciousness? Now in the Western countries, they have this saying, we're trying to make our marriage work. This is what they say. We're trying to make our marriage work. That means it won't work. Because if you say you're trying to make your marriage work, it means you're thinking that, well, maybe it won't work. You're allowing some room for it not to work. You know what that means for it to work? It means for it to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's an idiomatic usage. No, in other words, we're trying to get on as husband and wife, but you know, we're really gonna try, but if it doesn't work, well, we'll get divorced. There's no question of trying to make your marriage work. You're married and you're married for 25 years. And if you accept that all right, for better or for worse, as they say in the Christian marriage vows, in health or sickness, in poverty or well-being, is it that you made that commitment? Okay, now we made the commitment in front of the deities, in front of the devotees, in front of the fire. You're committed to that. So you have to stick with it. Then you'll make the marriage work. Somehow or other you'll adjust. Even Prabhupada said, I didn't like my wife very much. But he didn't divorce her. And he didn't give up his responsibility to maintain the family. So it may be, I mean, this is realistic, that realistically speaking, sometimes husband and wife, they really like each other, and sometimes they don't. And you can never tell. Really? The modern idea is that, well, you should live together for some time and get to know each other, and then you decide. But that doesn't work. Because before marriage and after marriage, they behave completely different towards each other. Before they get married, it's all, and after the marriage, it's, where's the money? In India, there's an advertisement for limca. Anyone who's been to India knows what limca is. It's a soft drink. It's a hot country. People drink a lot of these things. There's an advertisement. It shows a picture. It says, limca before marriage. And it shows the young man and woman looking at each other, drinking the limca. Then it shows another picture, limca after marriage, and it shows them standing with their back to each other, a very angry look on their face, drinking limca. Anyway, still they're in the same picture. Cool. They're not, and they didn't go running off to another advertisement. Anyway, the point is that even if the husband and wife don't get that on that well, anyway, you're married. The purpose of life is to serve Krishna anyway. So I got married and I don't like this one and maybe I'll try another one, and you spend your whole life jumping from one marriage to another, you get more and more involved in the bodily concept of life. You get involved in sinful reaction, because divorce is sinful. It causes a lot of suffering to all parties concerned. So anyway, husband and wife together. Now, try and get on with each other. Somehow or other you don't work out that well. Anyway, somehow or other they have to adjust. And what I've seen is that even if somehow or other they don't get on that well with each other, if somehow or other they adjust, then they do get on well with each other anyway. I have some experience several times. Disciples and others wrote letters to me saying, look, you know, I just can't get on with my husband, and or I can't get on with my wife, or this or that. So I just write back to them and say, well, that's your husband or that's your wife, and you've got to stick with it. And you should read these sections of Bhagavatam where Prabhupada describes how the husband should satisfy the wife and how the wife should satisfy the husband. And don't act according to your speculative idea. Mm. And don't get any books from the library by karmis telling you how to live a happy family life. That will definitely spoil your marriage. You read Prabhupada's books and be committed to living in this ashram until you're older. And I have this experience that people say, wow, we did what you said and you saved our marriage. In Russia, I have one disciple who this actually happened. And now she's preaching in a whole town that Krishna consciousness, you should come to Krishna consciousness. She's preaching among family people. You should come to Krishna consciousness because it will improve your family life. There's another man in Russia. He came to some programs I was doing in one town. And he was a big, nasty guy. When the time came for questions, he says that,
Yes, Krishna consciousness is not very good. Too much austerity. This no illicit sex is very bad. So I didn't know at the time that he was actually the husband of a lady who is a devotee who was coming to me and saying, look, my husband's a complete demon. What should I do? I want to divorce him. As I told her, anyway, look, you've got two kids. They need a father. So why don't you just be a little patient and try to serve him very humbly, give him prasadam, and just see if you don't challenge him, just try and bring him round. Give it some time. Don't just, boom, snap, divorce like that. So now that man's chanting two rounds a day.
Yeah.
Because it actually, this advice which Prabhupada gives in his books, which comes from the Vedic knowledge, it actually works because it's Vedic knowledge. Prabhupada says that the wife should be very submissive and humble to the husband. And in the Western countries, lady devotees read that and say, well, that's for India, that's not for me. But Prabhupada explained, this is how the wife actually controls the husband. That instead of shouting at him, and she controls him in another way. That she makes herself, she serves him so nicely that he just does anything she wants. And if he's angry and shouts at her a little bit, she's very patient because, and then he becomes, you see, he becomes indebted that she's behaving so nicely. So it's understood that every woman wants to or usually does control her husband. But Prabhupada said, you control this way. Because I was just reading the other day, Prabhupada said, a man, he needs certain amount of comfort. So the wife, she provides that. And then he feels so, then he's able to, without his mind being disturbed so much, he's able to go on with his Krishna consciousness. And that also makes a very nice atmosphere in the home where the children see husband and wife very nicely relating. Fighting may be there sometimes, but it's not like all the time. So in that way, the children, one thing, the father and mother, they have to be very, very conscious of the children. What kind of atmosphere they're being brought up in. If they see their parents fighting all the time, then later they'll get married and they'll do the same thing. But children, they need such a stable atmosphere at home and they need so much affection and guidance. Usually the mother will be unlimitedly affectionate and kind, and the father very strict. So it's a very good combination.
Yeah.
That if it's only all affection and love, then the children, they'll grow up without any training.
Well, and if it's
all just strictness and heaviness, then they'll grow up impersonal. Did that answer your question somewhere?
and many more questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's unlimited questions. Well,
no.
You
say that you answer his question and many more questions.
Oh, yeah, I see. So if you have any more questions about this, is Drishta Prabhu is here.
Me?
Well, I don't know. There must be someone that can go to. All right, any other questions?
Then you mentioned at the beginning the best ways then encourage men at least to stay brahmacharis. But she said that according to Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, she told, I don't know which verse, but highest form is of love is this cordial love, this madhura rasa. So,
yeah, that's not in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, the highest love is madhurya ras of Krishna with the gopis, the queens in Vrindavan. That's not the same as that's not the same as the attraction between male and female in this material world. The attraction between male and female in this material world is the cause of bondage. So that's why we're recommending it's better to stay brahmachari so that you don't become involved in this bondage. It's better to have the problems of somewhat austere life in brahmachari ashram. If you can tolerate that, then you don't have to get entangled in so many. There's financial problem, emotional difficulties. It's a whole big tattva, the whole grihastha scene. It's not that you can't become Krishna conscious in the grihastha ashram.
There
are so many examples of great pure devotees like Arjuna, who in the grihastha ashram was pure devotee of Krishna. So you can become fully Krishna conscious in the grihastha ashram. And it's not even necessarily true that a brahmachari is just because of his ashram status is more advanced than he has, and that's not at all true. But there's definitely the tendency for that situation is to be more entangling, more diverting. Where do you preach? Oh, that's that's like the road. Yes, that's the Katowice and what's the?
Banji. No, we did.
Almost 20 devotees are from.
Yeah, it's a very hellish place, I heard. Yeah. Sounds great to me. Now, what he meant by that, can I explain? I can understand. There are some devotees who artificially try to think of Krishna. They try to think that, well, I'm a gopi in Krishna Leela, and Krishna is coming and kissing me. This is called artificial. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the instruction is there, mam anusmara yudhya cha. Think of me and fight. He says, manmana, always think of me. So our whole cultivation of Krishna consciousness is to think of Krishna.
Yes.
And Prabhupada gave us this Krishna book, which is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all Vedic literatures. And he writes in there that if devotees, even in this material world, if they can absorb their minds in the pastimes of Krishna, just like the gopis who were thinking of Krishna when he was out in the forest, then that is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Yes. So if we can cultivate this, read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Krishna book, read Bhagavad Gita, absorb our minds in Krishna, and go on with our devotional service also. That's another kind of artificiality, that now I'm so busy thinking of Krishna, I can't think of doing my service. Now rather, the center of someone who's thinking of Krishna actually is that they're very enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Now that town president asks you to clean the pots, now I'm too busy thinking of Krishna. So both things side by side. If you can think of Krishna's beautiful transcendental form, that's very nice. And Krishna also recommends in the Gita, right?
What's
that verse? There are several verses where he says, meditating on my transcendental form. What's that verse? In the 8th chapter? It's a longer verse.
Kavipuranam
anusrasya.
Anuraniyam sam anusmaratya.
Yeah, yeah. Then he says, what is it? Achintya rupam, yeah, always meditating on my inconceivable form. So that's very nice. This is the best psychiatric treatment. Tate nukampa. That verse is there, that if, in all difficulties, if you go on with your service thinking of Krishna, then you become delivered back to Godhead. So there may be difficulties even living with devotees. So if you can remember Krishna, that would be very nice. We shouldn't expect utopia living with devotees. It's not that sometimes we join this movement and we think that now everyone's going to be very nice. And everyone is very nice, because everyone's chanting Hare Krishna and trying to dedicate their life to Krishna. But sometimes due to circumstances, we may not behave in the most ideal manner. But still, devotees, even the most neophyte devotee is the most glorious person. Much better than any worldly moralist. So if this difficulties in dealing with devotees, we should be very tolerant, actually. Not try to see, well, this guy, he felt bad, and he's in Maya. Sometimes devotees, they all come together and they kind of work out how to adjust with each other and live with each other. And he said that, and he said this. And so I have another suggestion, that if there's some difficulties living together with each other, we should have lots of fire up kirtan. And then take gulab jamun and halava, chorus, prasada. See, and then you'll understand then there's no problem. That's our philosophy. Our philosophy is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Not that you chant Hare Krishna and you're thinking, ah, oh, that guy, I don't like him. I'm going to call an Ishta Goshti and tell everyone how bad he is. Not our process. Our process is Anande Bala Hari Bhaja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Very happily chant Hare Krishna, worship Vrindavan, and take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnavas. So Krishna consciousness is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's Prabhupada's instruction. You have to follow. Being unhappy is against the rules. So if you're feeling unhappy or miserable, then you should jump up and down in kirtan. And if you don't feel like jumping up and down in kirtan, because you're so much, like this, then you should do it anyway. Because once you start to chant and dance, then all the bad feelings go away. Chito dharpana marjanam. What is all this bad feeling? It's simply produced from the mode of passion. Kama asia, krodha asia, rajagunasavam is lust and anger. It's simply produced from the mode of passion. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And even if we have some kind of not very good feeling with some other devotees, if we're chanting and dancing together, it's impossible to be envious of someone if you're chanting and dancing with them. And this, I tell you, it's better than hundreds of hours of counseling and psychiatric treatment and all these things. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gati Aranyata. This is the solution to all problems. Sankirtan, chant and dance. Jai Shokal Bipod, Bhakti Vinod, Balan Joka Nonan Gayu. When we chant Hare Krishna, all problems go away.
Could you say something about books on which you're working just now?
Yeah, I'd like to say something. I'd like to be working on some books. I'm always thinking of some quiet place I can go to where I can write my books. I did some work at New Shantipur, right? Got a few hours in there. I hope before the end of this year to bring out a book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which I've been working on for 8 years now. And I'm trying to get my memories of Srila Prabhupada out before the centennial year is over. And I'm working on about 7 other books also. I guess maybe they'll come out in this lifetime. One book which I did a lot of work on over the last, I've been researching it for many years and I did a lot of work over the last 2 years, is a book on Vaishnav culture, etiquette and behavior in great detail. As my very good friend Atmatapra Prabhu, who you maybe know at least from hearing his lectures on tapes, his observation is that our Western devotees, they're very good. They're very dedicated, coming from a completely different way of life, but they've changed their way of life. They've given up so many things to practice Krishna consciousness. Often they're very determined and they work hard to spread the Sankirtan movement. He said that the only thing they're lacking is culture. And that not through lack of, not that they don't want to have it, but they're not trained in it. So culture is very important. How we behave with each other, and so many different things, like how we sit, how we eat, how we serve prasad, how we put on tilak, how we chant Hare Krishna, so many different things. So that's, and then another book which I want to do when I've done, when I finish these three, I'm either going to start on a book called Answering the Atheists, or I'll do a book, the next one will be this Family Life in Krishna Consciousness. It's also very much needed.
И następną,
against simple language against atheism. So if anyone wants to help in any way, you're welcome. Pranar artha dhyavacha. These are different ways to help. If you can give your life,
jeśli możesz, good.
Anyone wants to travel with me, do my typing. Artha means
money.
That's right. Dhya means means intelligence. So you can read my books. You don't have to be very intelligent because I'm not very intelligent. So they're written very simply. And vacha means speaking. So basically I'm collecting different things from Prabhupada's books. So just like I did a book on brahmachari life. So if you want to preach about brahmachari life, you can consult this. There's so many quotes in Prabhupada's books. Just like Suhodra Maharaj is presenting this book on epistemology. So it's all the things are from Prabhupada's books. He's expanding on the instructions and the ideas given there. Prabhupada said that my disciples will write purports on my purports. So these are the, in our movement, books are the basis, means Prabhupada's books. But books which follow on the lines that Prabhupada had given us exactly, they're also good to read. Just like Prabhupada's